Welcome to the Original Recipe Group, Big Book Step Study. Broadcasting from Newcastle, PA, every Monday night from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Easter on Zoom.
All right. Hello, everyone. My name is Veronica. I'm alcoholic.
Veronica.
I have experience with these steps as required by group conscience. Through meetings like this, working with a woman who did the same, did the work from meetings like this and a sponsor from here, and with the grace of God, for sure. I just want to qualify here. I have 5 dogs and it's storming outside. And one of them barks at the thunder. And of course it started thundering just as the meeting started. So I'm hoping that the storm is kind of slid away. Oh, he's going to bark. Just, there he is. I told him I'm going to throw him outside if he keeps doing it. Louis, come on. Because he chases the thunder. Anyway, so sorry about that. So when, you know, I try to listen and have something that just kind of jumps out at me. And so what really, it was the first couple of sentences that Mark read. You know, we've been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our creator. Well, when I walked into Alcoholics Anonymous and I saw God and all that stuff on the wall, I didn't know that I was looking for a new relationship with my creator. And when I started coming to these types of AA meetings, even at that point, I wasn't necessarily looking for a new relationship because I was several years sober when I found the steps that do the big book meetings that do the steps out of the book, and didn't realize a lot. And one of the things I didn't realize was that I really needed to develop that new relationship with a creator and just have something that actually was an experience for me, not just a belief that was taught to me. So, you know, I've admitted certain defects. I've ascertained it in a rough way what the trouble is, and we put our fingers on the weak items in our personal inventory. So what that means is the 3 weeks prior to this meeting, you've all talked about the resentments, the fears, and the sex inventory. So that basically is all that writing that I did. And those were, you know, admitted certain defects, right? My 4 character defects. I'm selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid. Now, they show their ugly head in a lot of different forms, you know, but those are my 4 basic characteristics, you know, and I've got, you know, I've got a lot of fears. I've got a lot of self-seeking behaviors. I'm very dishonest in a lot of different ways, but those are the primary ones. And if you had said that to me prior to doing this work, I'd be like, no, yeah, maybe I'm a little selfish. You know, well, I'm honest. And, you know, it wasn't cash register honesty that was the problem. So I wrote all of that stuff out. I did those turnarounds and I began to see my part in everything. I had a part in every single situation. Now, there were some events that happened as a childhood and as I grew up that I didn't deserve, right? There's some traumatic situations, there's some abuse, there's some sexual trauma, whatever it is. But I had a part in getting myself into situations that led to situations that caused me a lot of harm, right? Because of the decisions I made based on self, you know. Oh, and, you know, as a kid, some of the things that happened, I'm not responsible for those things, right? So anyway, I looked at all of that stuff. I wrote it out, and this was the first time that I was going to read it all, you know, like I've heard a lot of other people say it about these, you know, like I wrote it out and now it's the pictures and now it's the, you know, it's the movie, because putting all those things together started to do something differently for me than when I wrote it in the snapshots, right? And I'm not to say that there weren't times that I'd write something and I would really feel it in my spirit, you know. And it was usually at this point in time, all that writing wasn't stuff like, "Ooh, I'm so happy that I acted like that," you know. It was all like a lot of humility, a lot of swallowing some big chunks of truth about myself, of how I behaved and how I treated others. And it was not pleasant. But as I read this to my sponsor, you know, I have little different notes here and there. And I said, my sponsor listened with an open heart. And that is exactly what she did. She listened with an open heart. And prior to me starting to read this to her, even up to this point, when I had shared a lot of things to her, I still was fearful that she wasn't going to like me, that she was going to see the truth about me, that I was going to be exposed for the awful person that I was. And, you know, that little kid within me, that feeling judged that I'm not good enough, was something that was really detrimental. And I carried that around even to my adult life, you know. And then I would react, you know, like, you know, fight or flight, you know, I'd feel judged or not good enough. And so then I would come back at you, you know. That was mostly my response. And, you know, her expression never really changed. There were a few things that I read that we kind of both laughed about, like, you know, because a lot of it was really petty and like my imagination was just crazy, because I told myself a lot of stories about what you thought about me and why I had to act a certain way, you know. And so I had this, and there were times that we both cried, and there were, you know, there were a few times with some situations, and she, you know, she would say, "That must have been really difficult for you." And, you know, when I first started reading my fifth step, I was still angry at this old boyfriend that I was in Florida, and I flew up to Massachusetts to read it. I was in the next town over from this old boyfriend who, you know, cheated on me, and now this other woman's living in the house. But, you know, I totally forgot about the times I cheated, right? Because that's not what we're talking about here, you know, because the lie I tell myself, I'm not as bad as that person, or it was because of this or whatever. And as I started to read, I started to feel things start to dissolve, right? And that hatred, I started to see it from other people's position. Like, I was not the best girlfriend. I was not an honest woman. I was not sincere and dedicated. I was always looking for the next thing that was going to fix me better. Always, be that a person, be that a job, be that a new car, whatever it was, always looking for the next thing that's going to fix me better. And as I started to read this, I started to feel some forgiveness. And it wasn't just like forgiveness for me. I can't tell you which one came first, like the chicken and the egg, but I started to be able to let other people off the hook, right? Because I saw how those four character defects told my mind that story. I built all of my beliefs on those stories, and I acted out towards people on those stories. And I started to see that people weren't doing these things to me like I believed. You know, like, for instance, let's say, you know, I'm writing about somebody snubbing me in the supermarket. Well, I don't even know if that person saw me, but I'm telling myself she snubbed me on purpose. You know, and then maybe I talk to her a couple of weeks later and she's like, you know, I'm like, "Oh, I saw you in the suit." "You did. Why didn't you come over and say hello?" You know, but I'm convinced she's snubbing me because I'm telling myself these stories. So now I'm going to go gossip about her to everybody else, right? So I started to let other people off the hook, because I saw how I behaved when I was fearful, when I was full of self. And so I could allow people to, maybe they're in a situation that makes them selfish or fearful, right? It had nothing to do with me. And maybe they did or didn't, but I started to be able to let them off the hook. And then, so I was able to let myself off the hook. Now there's a difference between saying, you know, I'm not making excuses for my behaviors, but I started to have an understanding of the fuel that fed those defects. And that was really important, because I had to see that fuel, which was all coming from here, because there's no way for me to change it. So as I read this, as I started to get more and more traction, I had more and more forgiveness for myself and more understanding and forgiveness and empathy and allowing people to be who they are, just while I'm reading that. You know, and it, you know, it talks about the actor, you know, it says about, you know, the character and, you know, the reputation. I was sober, and it wasn't that I was going to go back out and drink and think I didn't have that reputation, but it was that person, it was that those behaviors, you know, like, oh, they're going to find out who I really am, you know, really be nice while people are around. And then meanwhile, I'm like screaming at my dog, right? You know, like I'm just trying to pretend that I wasn't this person. And I was always on edge wondering who was going to find me out. Right. So I love this line about psychologists are inclined to believe. Well, I never told anybody the whole truth. Nobody. Unless I was doing like mind altering chemicals, then you became my best friend and I was going to tell you like the whole world. Right. But, you know, just crazy stuff like that. So there was no doubt who I was going to read this to, you know, because I didn't trust anybody, because I knew they were going to find out. This was like the fact that I wrote this stuff down and I had committed to read this to somebody, when one of my deepest fears is I'm going to be found out. I'm going to be rejected. I'm not going to be liked. No one's ever going to love me. And I'm going to be exposed as the worst person ever, right? So this mindset's still kind of going on a little bit in the back of my mind. So it was not a shot that I was going to go find somebody else. I figured at least with my sponsor, she knew some of this stuff, right? And it was completely not true, right? Things that I was concerned about and afraid of, you know, that didn't necessarily, you know, she would share something when she knew when I was uncomfortable or something was, you know, something was big, let's say. And she, you know, and she would share occasionally something that was similar, right? But she mostly listened. She was a witness to what I was reading. You know, there'd be times that she'd be sitting up there kind of, you know, doing the nodding off, you know. And of course, like, you know, early on, I'm looking at all these notebooks. I'm like, oh, I could actually skip one and nobody would know. Well, no, nobody would know, but I would. And I would probably drink again, because, and it could have been a notebook full of petty nonsense. It was because I'm not being thorough and honest. And that honesty is really key. It doesn't say perfect. It doesn't say, you know, absolutely have to get every single thing right now, because that's what later on, that what we read at the end of the meeting, I believe, A Vision for You says more is going to be revealed. As long as I come to this fourth step and this fifth step, doing my best to be thorough and sincerely doing what I can to be thorough and honest, I'm good. So, you know, I will tell you, something showed up the next day and it wasn't even on my fourth step. Like, it wasn't even like I kept it off. And I was like, oh my God, I can't even believe that I forgot this. So I call her up and she's like, yeah, no problem. So we read it. But it doesn't mean that 2 weeks down the road, 2 months down the road, something comes up and it's like, oh, you didn't do the right job. That's what the vision for you is for. Because God's going to reveal stuff, continue to reveal stuff, and I'm going to continue to grow if I continue to be willing to look at it, right? So, yeah, there was a lot of pride pocketing there. And like I said, early on the first couple of days, I was down in Florida. I flew up to Massachusetts. It was like in February. She actually had carpal tunnel surgery. So she was out of commission for like 10 days from work. And it was just when I came up there. And we spent the next 8 days. I would come over, would read for a few hours in the morning. I'd make lunch because she couldn't use her hand. And then I'd read some more. And it was a beautiful time. And I knew when I finished that I had not intentionally left anything off. I did not intentionally leave anything off. So I want to use the last couple of minutes to talk about how important other women inviting me into their life to listen to their fifth steps, what that has meant for my recovery and what that has meant for me. It's like I get to do, you know, I get to look at my selfishness and all those things all over again. And I might not be, we might not have had the exact same events that happened in our, but they're parallel. Fear is fear. You know, if I'm afraid of dogs and you're afraid of cats, the emotion of fear and that anxiety that comes up is the same. So I can identify with that. And doing things, you know, sexual things because I don't feel loved or because I'm afraid somebody won't like me or it's the only value I think I have. You know, when other women talk about some of the things they've done, I'm right there with you, right? And the fact that they trust me and I can listen to them with an open heart because I looked at the things that made me behave in ways that were troublesome, ways that were objectionable. And I know, you know, like I'm powerless over alcohol. My life is unmanageable, right? I'm powerless over these character defects if I don't find a power greater than myself to help me change. And because I understand that, I see other people having the same struggles and how they behave towards others. And it's easy for me to understand that and not judge. And that is the greatest gift, is I get to help these women and to watch. I have watched women, not just women I've sponsored, but in meetings. I've watched people come in where they're, you know, like kind of sulking and I watch them start to change. And I get to experience that with women. And there's numerous women that I have helped that I am still friends with today. You know, and it's amazing. And some of the women I, you know, I've lost touch with, but I know that they're with God and that and things are good and they're going to help other people in their path. So the last thing I am going to say is what I share about this. I had this big fear of all these awful character defects and how awful I was. And I had this belief, like, just shut the door on the past, just bury it. Who cares? You know, like, why bring it up? You know, why bring all that stuff up, right? Because it was eating me alive. It wasn't going away. I could move. I could, you know, do all those things. And it was not going away. So I finally got to this point where I did this. But what I've learned is I can't change the past, right? I can't go back and erase the mistakes that I've made. But if I learn from them, God's going to help me go to other places that are better, right? If I've learned from them, I'm willing to learn from them. But the best thing I believe is when I use those character defects from the past to share with somebody the mistakes I've made and how I've behaved, and it might help them, that is how it starts to fade. Those scars on my soul start to fade. Right? Because I'm doing the right thing with my past. So here is a promise, and I read this a lot. Showing others who suffer how we were given help is the very thing which makes life seem so worthwhile to us. Cling to the thought that in God's hands, the dark past is the greatest possession you have. Okay? My dark past. How is that even possible? Because it's the key to life and happiness for others. With it, you can avert death and misery for them. So I want to say congratulations to everyone who's celebrating an anniversary, be it, you know, one day or 99 days, as Bobby said, or 91, right? 91 years. If you're writing or you're new or you're listening, please keep coming back and I hope you stay with it because we need to hear you too because you help us and we help each other. So with all that, thank you again, TK, for having me. And it's nice to see some of my old friends.